thomasofgod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary.
Brother Thomas, I was wondering, do you think that you could do a summarization of what we've been studying for the past couple of months?
Sure, Sister Mary. Yes, Sister Mary, I would love to do a summarization of what we have learned in the past few months. Let's start with what we have called the reversal, how that according to Titus 1:2, God promised to himself to give the human race eternal life even before creation. And he put everything in position for them, the first man and woman, to receive that eternal life with him here upon this earth in their material body. But God wanted them to choose this life with him of their own free will. And so he set up that choice to be made by the use of two trees. One represents a yes to God for eternal life, and the other tree, a no to eternal life. The one tree was known as the tree of life, and the other, the tree which God said if they choose, would bring the opposite of life, and that is death. We know the story. They chose not to live upon this earth with God for eternity, and so God gave them what they chose, and used a process known as death or aging to reverse God's will for man. So he began to take away man's body, which was made for eternal existence here upon this earth, by aging or death. And also by death, to remove man from the earth, the place for that eternal existence with God. And then, by use of death also, separating man from his body and putting him for eternity apart from God in a place called the lake of fire. All because that is what Adam and Eve chose over life eternal. But let us not forget that God made a promise, and God cannot lie. So God must set out to save man from his own destiny that he had chosen. And remember, eternal life came in the form of a gift, and so in order to keep his promise, he must still keep it as a gift, or he shall be made or declared a liar. Now, God had chosen his son to be the instrument to be used to save man from his choice and to remove the reversal of Adam and Eve's choice of death. And so he chose his son, Jesus Christ, to be the substitute for man, so he had to experience the separation from God's plan of eternal life for him. Now, we define death as the ceasing of a process that is in progress. So God had to take away from man all that was given to him for eternal life. And the removal of these three things Christ experienced for us so that we would not have to as a result of Adam and Eve's wrong choice. And these three areas are the removal of man from his body, which was given to us for eternal life upon this earth. Two, the removal of man from earth, the place for our eternal existence. And three, the removal of man from the presence of God. And Christ experienced all three. He was whipped to the point of his body losing so much blood that he ceased to live. And he cried out, according to Scripture, and then gave up the ghost, which was his separation from not only his body, but also from the earth. Three, he was separated from God, his Father, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ experienced the reversal for man, that whosoever believes upon him would not experience an eternal separation, but be reunited with God in a new body upon new earth with God for eternity. So we understand that Christ experienced death in these three areas. That is the result of Adam and Eve's wrong choice or decision. That falls upon the whole human race. The ceasing of our existence in our body by physical death, and also by physical death to receive us to the lake of fire for eternity, thus separating us from the earth and also from God. Now we have also learned that physical death, that we are through physical death, that we all will experience, either by age or some other method, is not the punishment for our sins, but is the product of the wrong decision by Adam and Eve. Christ was punished as a criminal for our sins, which the word sins is plural, found in 1 Corinthians 15:3, referring to our acts rather in the mind or outwardly toward others. For that sin behavior that is opposite of the love behavior, which is the law of God. Romans 3:25 is a verse where we learn that God, because of his forbearance, or the holding back of his anger, as well as holding back the punishment of death for our sins toward man, was done by God. Or, to simplify it, we should all have been put to death by God for the sins that we have committed daily. But instead, he has held back punishing man and allowing him to live out his life naturally in hope that every person would have a chance to come to Christ and receive eternal life. God, and rightly so, could kill us at any time because we have sinned daily. But if he did not hold back our punishment and killed us right now, he would not have anyone to keep his promise to give eternal life to. You see, the death for the punishment of our sins is a different death from that natural death that we will all experience because of that one single act of disobedience and denying eternal life by Adam and Eve. And we also learned that God allows man to exist a life and to live out his life knowing that many will come to Christ and say yes to eternal life with God. And again, we understand that Christ's death is a substitute death for our sins, so that we may not be punished for the past sins we lived before we came to Christ. Then we have also learned how that God is going to save our bodies and us from a living spirit that lives in us called the old man, which Paul does not treat as a non-living object, but personalizes it in describing it by using such pronouns as his deeds and the old man. We learned also that this spirit is contrary to God and has enslaved man by keeping him ignorant of God's love and salvation, and also to lead him into practicing the sin behavior, which is hatred, bitterness, envying, strife, fussing, fighting, adultery, fornication, unforgiveness, gossip, slander, murder, theft, and a lot more. This spirit is the cause of men living such lives by putting in their minds mind suggestions, leading men into wars and murder and addictions of alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, and of course a lot more. We also have learned that this spirit lives in the flesh of our bodies, according to Romans 7:17-18, and how that the lost without Christ have their brain controlled by this old man in order to lead men to live his life. And that life, of course, is contrary to the love behavior. But to live his life, which is hate, anger, fighting, and of course a lot more. We have also learned that the job of this old man is to keep from man the information of God's care to save man from hell, death, and the judgment through his son's death, Jesus Christ. Because if you gain this knowledge, you might weigh the information and by your own free will make a decision to turn from sin and to choose eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. Then we have also learned that Christ crucified on the cross the old man and defeated the old man by his perfect obedience. This old man, whose work is to lead men to live lives disobedient to the law of God, which is love. We also learned that Christ defeated and lifted up on the cross that old man in a state of humiliation before the spiritual world. Romans 6:6 says that the old man is crucified with Christ. We have also learned that the Holy Spirit, along with the church, is used as an instrument to get out the message of the gospel, which is the death of Christ as a substitutionary death for your sins, that you may not be punished for your sins, but that you may be saved from death, hell, and judgment in order that you may acquire eternal life. But Satan, demons, and the old man wish to keep this information from you, that you may perish without having a choice. We also learned how the enemy had to try to cause Christ to commit one sin of disobedience, and that they had 33 years to succeed, and yet they failed. But Christ was completely obedient to God and to the law of God, which is love, in order that he may bring salvation to mankind by dying for his sins. And then one of the last things we learned is that how that when the Holy Spirit of God enters our mind, which is where he enters in at the point of salvation. Once you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. And of course, he has the same authority as God the Son and God the Father. And how that he enters into our mind, and how that the spirit of disobedience pulls back. He falls back. He doesn't dare enter into the same place where the authority of God is. And that by the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our mind, living with us in our mind, how that the spirit of disobedience or the old man no longer has dominant power or dominant say-so over our lives, and the control, his control of our mind and our emotions and our desires, by using our mind and our brain against us to practice what he wishes us to practice instead of us, that cord has been cut. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, he has retreated back into the flesh, and through the Holy Spirit, the brain has been recaptured at the moment of salvation, and by, at the moment and second that the Holy Spirit enters into the believer's mind. And so, when that takes place, we're no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves to the dictatorial rule of the old man, but we have a new master now, and we have the ability to choose to say no, whereas in times past, because of our lack of information and ignorance, he ruled over us by having control of our mind, using it against us in order that we may live the life of disobedience, our hatred, bitterness, envy, and strife, which is contrary to God's nature and the love of God. How's this for a summary, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416 with your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net.